us look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we are thankful for the knowledge of the Almighty and for the faith that you have given us to believe in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are thankful for the trust of the gospel. Your Holy Scripture says, but as we were all put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, no pleasing man, but God who tries our heart. And so, Father, help us this morning to speak with love, but also to speak with truthfulness about the gospel. Father, we are thankful for our extended family here at church. We have missionaries everywhere. Juan Erges Mendoza in Nicaragua, Carol and Ruth Knott in northern Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in the Malaga area in Spain, Ruben and Irene Zagert in Lodi, California, and the South Valley Pregnancy Center right here in our town. How blessed we are in carrying on with other people this ministry of faithful people who are preaching and caring for the gospel. Lord, we have our radio ministry, and we are thankful for those who listen. We are thankful for those who are part of our church family via the radio communication. And thank you, Lord, that they call our office. Thank you, Lord, that they request tapes. Thank you, Lord, that they are listening to the voice of the gospel. Father, we are thankful for our tape ministry. We know that there are many people who listen to our tapes, and then those people pass on the tapes to other people. So, Father, bless them, that they may praise your name because of the presentation of the gospel. Lord, we are grateful for our nation, a nation ruled by law. So help us, O God, and help the authorities to uphold the law as it is written. Lord, touch the life of our president, that he may know the seriousness of his actions, and that he may have a broken heart before thee and before the nation. Lord, bless his family, his wife, his daughter. Protect his daughter from all of these things that happen, and give her a direction to look to Jesus as the Almighty with power to forgive and to restore life. Lord, we bring into the throne of grace our church family. Forrest, our grandpa, has heart trouble and is uneasy. And we pray for self-control in these very difficult moments. And we pray for Loretta as she faces the difficult circumstances of seeing her husband in such a very critical part of his life. Father, we are thankful for Margie Salinas. We pray for her, and she's on the service today here with us. And we are grateful that you answer prayer. And we are grateful for this family who is a blessing to us. We are grateful for Prudence, Lord. We pray for Prudence, and she's with us. And you uphold her, and how grateful we are that she's a faithful member of our church. Thank you, Lord, for her. Lord, we have a family who is hurt. Ruth Guerrero is in Mexico. And we pray for comfort and for peace, because her mother had departed to eternity. I know, Father, the absence of one of our family members is very terrible, and should be, because it's part of our life. But we must be aware that we are not here forever. And so if we want to live forever, we better get acquainted with Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Ruth, that you give her the opportunity to go back to Mexico at the moment that her mother was alive yet. Thank you, Father. Bring her back to her husband with the peace of God so that they may renew their family life here. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I receive a call from Joel Hausenbach, a man who one day was passing by here, and his car broke down, and we helped him, and he became a family member, and we sent tapes to him, and he is an eager evangelist in hospitals and place, and he called me, and he said, Pastor, pray for Shalene. Shalene is an Indian lady on their 20s, as an exchange student, and she thought in ending up her life and hung herself, but somebody found her, and now she's in the hospital. And our brother is giving her our tapes, and then he goes and elaborates on the sermons. Father, bless him today, as he will have a whole family there, and he will explain the gospel to them. Lord, bless our brother Joel, that he may be an instrument in your hand. And bless Shalene, open her eyes and mercy, that she may see. Lord, we miss our brother Parrot and Verla and the children. And I know that our brother Parrot have some problem with the stress. And we pray that he may gain the strain and his life, that he may have a direction for making new decisions with his life. Thank you, Father, for this family. Lord, we praise you. We love you. Bless us today with a heart of conviction. Give us an understanding of what it is to live without Christ. And give us a heart to run to him and say, save us, O God. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 864. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye have sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built up the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Blessed is the word of God. Almighty God, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee and thank thee for thy mercy upon our soul through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As thy word declares today, Almighty God, yes, we were separated from you. Yes, we had no hope. Yes, we were condemned. But by thy mercy and thy grace, you sent the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God himself, to die for us, so that we have hope, peace, and know the love of God. And this is what we pray today, O Father, that you'll use your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims that message. The message of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, so that we may have peace with thee again. We pray for those who do not know you, O Lord God, that you'll be merciful today and you'll call them and allow them to hear that message and enter it into their hearts. And for us who are part of the body, O Christ, may you cause thy word to cause us to grow and to serve thee in spirit and truth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Once again, we will ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians. And the text for our meditation this morning is found right there after the very beginning of the reading in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. And actually, two words from that text will be the clue for our meditation here this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for the blessings upon his word. Father, we thank you that we can bring the word of the living God to our attention. We pray that you will grant unto us a broken heart, a heart that will understand thy word, and a will that will submit to thy word. And when all is done, we are careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 12. and actually two words at the very beginning of the verse. The apostle says that at that time, talking to the Ephesian church, at that time, ye were without Christ. Ye were without Christ. The text describes the state of the Ephesians before they became Christians. You see the past tense, they were, ye were, without Christ. But I have news for you. That is not all. It describes the state of every man and every woman who is not converted to God. You may be religious. You may be a part of a denomination per se. But if you have no Christ personally, you are without Christ. A more miserable state cannot be conceived in my mind. It is bad enough to be without money, or without health, or without hope, or without a friend. But it is far more worse to be without Christ. Far more worse. So let us examine the text and see what really the text is saying in those words, without Christ. Three thoughts for our consideration this morning. First, let us consider when it can be said that one is without Christ. When I can say to somebody, you are without Christ. Let us consider that. Then, secondly, let us consider what is the actual condition of one without Christ, so that you see yourself, hopefully. And then finally, let us consider ourselves and find our own condition. See if we are with Christ or without Christ. So first, let us consider when it can be said that someone is without Christ. Three things. One is without Christ when there is no head knowledge of him. Let's look to John Gospel in chapter 17 and in verse 3. John Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3. One is without Christ when there is no head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John Gospel, chapter 17 and in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. One is without Christ when there is no head knowledge of him. If I said to you, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I'm a Baptist. You're not a Christian. You know what I mean? You need to have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you go to church, whatever you go to church, that church should point to you to the one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And should leave you not with the doctrines of the church, but with Christ in your heart. One is without Christ when there is no head knowledge of him. Pastor, is that bad? Can you be a little more polite? In America, we love to compromise. We hear that in television, and we hear that. We read the newspapers, and even our congressmen, they're trying to find a way to compromise. No, with God. Let me show you. 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and verse 8. Let me read from verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them, listen to this, that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how serious it is to be without Christ? As he's coming, at his return, Jesus is going to look for those who know him. One is without Christ when there is no knowledge of Christ Jesus. And we go worse than this. Secondly, one is without Christ when there is no heart faith in Christ Jesus. Let's go to John Gospel again, to chapter 3 in verse 36. John Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 36. One is without Christ when there is no heart faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, he that believe, now here's a heart faith, see, believing. He that believe on the Son, capital S in the King James, hath everlasting life. And he that believe not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Is that clear? If you put the trust in something else, you put the trust in something that is not Christ. So you are without Christ. If you hope to go to heaven because of your good behavior, if you hope to go to heaven because of your prayers, if you hope to go to heaven because you were baptized in this or in that church, if you hope to go to heaven because you are a member of this official church or the other church, all such persons without faith in Christ Jesus, without faith in Christ Jesus, are without Christ in the scripture. In the 1800s, at the very beginning of the 1800s, was the years of the Confessions of Faith. And the Reformation have written three or four masterpiece confessions, which, in all the information they gave to us, are very enlightening. I was asked by a pastor in Philadelphia, to what confession do you hold? And the pastor, of course, was from the Reformed faith. And I thought for a moment, what I want to say? So they want to label you who you are. And so I took my green Bible. I said, to the Hope Confession. He said, what's that? They're right here, my green Bible. Oh, but what does the Bible say? What's it? If you have time, we start in Genesis 1 and we read it tonight. So no, we need confessions so that we tell people what to believe. No, sir. You need this Bible so that you know what to believe. This is the constitution of every Christian. This is the law from cover to cover. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have come to believe in him because God has given you the faith, the Bible says, faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And when you read the Bible, you came to the conclusion that he is the Messiah, the one who died on the cross for you, then you are with Christ. But if you said, I'm a religious member of this church, and I have this kind of faith in this church, and in the other church, or in the priest, or in my baptism, or whatever you have done, you are without Christ. Without Christ. If you have no knowledge of him, you are without Christ. If you have no faith in Christ, you have faith in your church, you have faith in yourself, you have faith in your pastor, you have faith in your confession, but no faith in Christ, you are without Christ. How serious it is. One is without Christ when the Holy Spirit's work cannot be seen in your life. This is the most difficult. One is without Christ when the Holy Spirit's work cannot be seen in your life. Let me show it to you. John Gospel chapter 3, verse 3. In John Gospel chapter 3, in verse 3, we read, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, remember? Verily, verily, he said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or the word born from above will be the proper translation, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. One is without Christ when the Holy Spirit's work cannot be seen in yourself. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a doctor of the law, who was a professor of the law, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, who was of the board of directors of the Jewish church, he said to him, friend, except you must be born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Except God turn on the match, you cannot see what's going on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. In verse 3. Matthew 18. In verse 3. What means to be born from above? Now the same word is translated here a little more to the English style of understanding in Matthew 18 verse 3. Jesus is speaking and he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be, what? Converted. You saw that word? Converted. And become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The same idea that he taught to Nicodemus, now with a more practical understanding. You've been in the Army or Navy or Air Force. You know what means conversion means. When the sergeant yields to you conversion, then you wait left or right. And when he say left, then you change direction. All right? And he called you two times conversion, the whole battalion changed direction in the opposite direction. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you have 7 or 8 on the roll. And you are trained that the one in the corner, they march 3 or 4 times with the same steps until he moves and moves and you see it. And the sergeant is yielding and you see it and you see it. And nobody on that regiment, in that battalion said, well, I don't think I'm going to do that in the state where you are. If you don't want to go to jail, you move. You hear the voice of the sergeant and you are trained for that. And Jesus said, except ye be converted. The word in Greek is much, much simple. Except ye be turned around. Somebody is subjective. Except somebody come and turn around your head and your heart, you cannot see the kingdom of God. How easy is it in the Greek language? Except somebody get your head and turn your head around, you will not see the kingdom of God. See, Christianity is not something that I endorse. Actually, it's something that I'm forced to believe by God. And when I believe it, there is a conversion. When God has touched my life, there is a conversion. I don't have to stop smoking or stop fooling around with women or stop doing this and the other. I don't have to do that. That comes automatically. I'm converted. Some people are so afraid. Say, if I become a Christian, do I have to stop drinking? No, you don't have to do anything. You be converted. You turn around. And you don't want to do the things you did before. You will be the one who said, no, I don't want to do it. You don't judge anybody else. But when you are converted, you just turn around. See, that's conversion. If you have not been turned around, you are without Christ. That's a serious accusation now. Let me show you how John put it. 1 John 2:6. Look at how John put it. 1 John chapter 2, in verse 6. He that said he abided in him, he that said, I'm a Christian. Okay, you have to show your church membership then. Now look at what the Bible says. If you and I said, I am a Christian, then, John says, out himself also so to walk, even as the church tell him. No. Even as the confession of faith tell him. No. Even as he, I wish that he will be in capital, because talking about Jesus, even as Jesus did. So, when it can be said, the one is without Christ. One is without Christ when you have no idea who Christ is. One is without Christ when you have no faith in him. You are associated to a religious institution, but you have not been brought heart to heart with Christ. And one is without Christ when you are in a religious institution, but your life is the same that was before. Doesn't mean we are perfect. Doesn't mean we don't have temptation. No, I'll be a liar if I say that. But there is a change. And the change is done by God. Most of the people ask the question, how much do I have to change if I become a Baptist, or I become this, or I become the other? You don't have to change a bit. God is going to come into your head and is going to turn you around, and the things you like before, you will hate it. Simple like that. You will leave everything out. You don't want to be a part of the other life story. That's conversion. Conversion. Con means within, version means to turn around. That's what the Greek words pronounce. You are turn around, and you are no longer the same person. You no longer will say, Sunday is my day, and I do what I want on Sunday. You no longer will say that. That would be ridiculous for a Christian to say that. I mean, that would be out of place. You will be without Christ if you say that. Serious business. Christianity is not just walking forward and pray after me and be. No, Christianity is a change of heart done by God and his mercy. Now, secondly, what is the actual condition of one without Christ? What's the actual condition? Well, to be without Christ is to be without God. Let me show you in John chapter 5, verse 23. In John chapter 5, and in verse 23, look what the scripture says. To be without Christ is to be without God. John Gospel chapter 5, in verse 23, Jesus says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honor not the Son, honor not the Father. To be without Christ is to be without God. If you do not have Christ Jesus, you cannot say, I believe in God. See that? If you say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus, you have no God. You have no God, not the God of the Bible. The Bible says, if you say that you're going to honor, you honor the Son, then you honor the Father. But you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father. Now, how bad is that situation? You want to see it? Hebrews chapter 12. Look what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 29 how difficult is the situation. If you have no Jesus and you have no God, look at the God you have. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 29, the very last verse. For those who have no Christ, God is a consuming fire. So to be without Christ is to be without God, period. You cannot say, I have my own God. You have no God, sir. If you have no Christ, you have no God, said the scripture. To be without Christ is to be without peace. Let me show it to you. John Gospel chapter 14. Look with me in verse 27. To be without God is, to be without Christ is to be without peace, really. John Gospel chapter 14, verse 27. And this is what the scripture says. Peace I leave with you, say Jesus. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What kind of peace are you talking, Pastor? Here's the kind of peace I'm talking about. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, I read here the scriptures from the Apostle Paul who tell us the kind of peace that we're talking about. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with whom? With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have no Jesus, you have no peace with God. You are still under the wrath of God. You are still unsaved. You are still unconverted. You are still one day to be standing in the throne of God, to be judged by God. It's clear. To be without Christ is to be without peace. And peace with God is not through the church. Oh, the church may want to do anything they want to, but the church cannot provide for you peace with God. They can show you how to have peace with God, but not provide that peace. That peace is provided only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The mighty Luther and the 1500 read that verse and went to his church. And he told his church, it is not by mitigating my body and doing all kinds of beating on his body that he will have peace with God. It's through Christ Jesus. I don't need to do any sacrifice to have peace with God. It's through Christ Jesus. And for saying that, he has to run away to the Wittenberg Castle, all planned by God. And there in the Wittenberg Castle, for years away from the persecution, he writes and translates the Luther Bible that we know it today. He wants the people of Germany to know that peace with God is not through indulgence. You pay something and then you get peace. No, it's through Christ Jesus. Peace with God is not through your offerings. It's not through something that we have done. It's through what God has done through Christ Jesus. We have peace with God because of Jesus. So to be without Christ is to be without peace with God. And one day when the world is over and the final judgment takes place, if you have no peace with God through Christ Jesus, then God is going to judge you to an eternity in hell. To be without Christ is to be without hope. Do you remember the text that we read in Ephesians in chapter 2 and in verse 12? Look at what the Bible said, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope. Having no hope. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, let me show you Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You understand the text now? In Ephesians 2, 12 said, you have no hope. And then Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So to be without faith is to be without hope is to be without faith. And to be without faith is to be without Christ. To be without Christ is to be without any hope, without any faith whatsoever. To be without Christ is to be without heaven. Look in John 14. John 14 is a very important passage. Very important passage for the Christian. I'm going to read verse 1 to 3, and I'm going to show you in the scripture where this passage was fulfilled. John 14, verse 1 to 3, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Now look at what Jesus said to the disciples. "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, where in the Bible we find the fulfillment of this scripture that Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you"? We found it in Revelation chapter 5. If you move your Bible to Revelation chapter 5, the last book of the Bible, you find there the fulfillment of that scripture. To be without Christ is to be without heaven. Let me read from you Revelation 5, verse 6 all the way to verse 9. And listen what the scripture says. "And I beheld," said John, "and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb." You know this capital L? "As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Where is Jesus? Right there in the middle of the throne. Verse 7. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Is not that a great majestic passage of the scripture? To be without Christ is to be without heaven. If you have no Christ, then you have no heaven whatsoever. Doesn't matter who you believe. The only person who is in heaven representing us is Christ Jesus. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." He went and prepared a place for us, and is accepted. Look at verse 9, verse 8. "And he took the book," which is the book that Daniel was inquiring to. It was shut off in Daniel chapter 9, remember? He said, "Daniel, shut off the book. The book is about the end of the world." And he said, he took the book, and he was worthy to open the seals. Christ was found worthy to open the seals in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no other person that you can have worthy before God to open the seals and to present yourself before God. So to be the condition of one without Christ is a very tough condition. You are without God. You are without peace with God. You are without faith with God. And actually, you are without heaven. At your departure from this earth, there is only another place for you. And that place is called hell and the lake of fire in Revelation 20 and in verse 15. Now let's think for a moment about ourselves. Three questions. Are you without Christ? I want you to be honest. 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 13. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, in verse 5. Here's the exhortation of the apostle. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. "Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. See, it doesn't say, Pastor, go and examine the members of the church if they are in Christ or not. No, that's not my job. My job is to proclaim to you Christ. Your job and my job is to examine ourselves and be whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Remember what I talk about if you do not have the works of the Spirit, you are without Christ. That's what they said. Prove your own selves. Doesn't mean mathematically. Doesn't mean with your mind. Prove. Look into your life. What are you doing with your life? Is that the life of Christ? Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be, wow, the Bible uses a strong word, reprobates, rejected. You go to these stores here in Gilroy, there is what I call outlet stores. Watch out when you buy merchandise over there. Some of them are rejected. By law, they have to say it in tiny letters inside, way inside here. You look on it. I was looking for a coat, and I look on it, it's rejected. So I took it to the salesperson, and I said, look, I said, the old merchandise here is rejected. Well, what does that mean? That means no good. No good? The gold sounds good to me, looks good to me. Oh, but there is some problems. Where are the problems? We don't know, but there are some problems. You don't know? He said, no, because the merchandise come here. We don't know review every merchandise, but when you buy here, we have a seal here, say rejected. Shoes and everything. So if you come back tomorrow, he said, look at what I found. Too bad, they rejected. And you don't know. I said, where is rejected? No, I don't know. Do you know if you are rejected or not? Do you have that little sign rejected somewhere? And you don't look on it? Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith of the Scripture. Are you without Christ now? Rejected. Do you want to be with Christ now? That's the offer of the gospel. Look at the book of Isaiah in chapter 55. Do you want to be with Christ now? Isaiah chapter 55. Look what the Scripture says in verse 5, in verse 6, and in verse 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In other words, before the end of the world. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Call ye upon him while he is near. Call him now that he is a Savior. Call him now that he has mercy. Call him now that he is able to save you. Please call him to save you. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For what? For he will abundantly, we don't use that word too much in English, abundantly pardon. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you have done. He's able to forgive you. Well, how much, Pastor, he will forgive me? Well, look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 7. And in verse 25, what the Scripture says, Hebrews chapter 7, and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by the church. No, look at the Scripture. He's able, Hebrews 7, 25, to save them to the uttermost. Doesn't matter how far you went in your sins, they come unto God by, I like to change that word by the true word from the Greek, the word dia, which means through him. You go through Jesus or you are not saved. So I offer to him, I offer to you Jesus. You go to him and say, Lord, it's me and I need salvation. Have mercy on me and reveal to me the wonders of the Son of God. Humble yourself. See, the Bible said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. See, prayer is a humble thing. You're asking God to do something you cannot do. It's a very humble thing. And I'm going to ask you today, if you have no Christ, you pray. Say, Lord, Lord, it's me. Social security number, boom, 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 boom. Lord, please. I found there are three Oteros in town, so I always said, Gabriel Otero, social security number. Because one service station wanted to charge me $50 that the other guy did not pay. Please, do you have Christ? This is the time of salvation. When the world ends, it's a time of judgment. This is the time to come to Christ now. Not tomorrow. Now, said the scripture, he's able to save. I need to do some dental work. Very difficult. I trust my brother Adam, but he's not doing commercial work individually. He does mass production work. So I have to go to another dentist. And I got a written information of what he's going to do. 15-hour surgery, ding. I went through that before. But this one is more difficult. The jaw needs to be cut, and things need to be done. And so I said the other day to Dr. Adam, now, what do you think about these prices, astronomical prices? What do you think about these? And what do you think about the work that he wanted to do? He said, wait, he said, Dr. Adam, he said, wait. You need this job. And that was the most difficult job. He said, but that job will take me 2 days in the surgery room. So you wait, he said. See, I want to be sure. I said, when do I do it? Now, he said. Can't wait. Why? Because if you wait, this section, you know, all technical names, boom, my head went out to go to the dictionary and see what Dr. Adam said. It's bad. I better do it now. Now listen, you better have Christ now. Because if you walk out of this parking lot and a car strikes you and you die, there is no prayer of anybody that can move you up to heaven. Your destination is hell. Now, Pastor, you said, come on, Pastor, I have Christ. Wonderful. You have Christ? Here's a text for you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. If you have Christ, if you say, Pastor, I do have Christ, I do have him, then the Bible says in Colossians 3:15 at the very end, be ye what? Thankful. Be ye thankful. Listen carefully what the roots is to the branches, what the air is to our lungs, what food and water is to our bodies, what the sun is to creation, all these things and much more is Christ to us. In other words, to be in Christ is peace, safety, and happiness. To be without Christ is to be on the brink of destruction. Where are you? Thank you, Father, that the Bible today call our attention very seriously. The Bible says clearly today, you were without Christ. Oh God, I pray that those here in the auditorium and there, Father, in the radio and tape ministry, may think seriously about themselves. And by examining themselves, they will know if they are with Christ or not. Oh, help us, oh God, to be real. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Mike. Where is the other young member of the board? Brother Leo, right there. He's taking the signs in the back. All right. All the youngest member of the elderly get the rest. And we got all the fresh blood here. All right. Good. You may be seated, please. We're going to have the Lord's Supper and a participation that we do every Sunday.